It's Your Career After All with Douglas E. Welch, a presentation from Career Camp SCV in the Santa Clarita Valley, July 12, 2014. For more information, visit douglasewelch.com. For more information on Career Camp, visit careercampscv.wordpress.com or careercampinternational.org. Today we're talking about something that's probably quite a bit different than what you heard in all the other talks today. In all the other talks today, we focused on the externals, the resumes, the interviews, the dress styles, making the best of your job, pleasing your managers, pleasing your coworkers, pleasing everybody else. Something that I have always done in my career column, Career Opportunities, since 1997 is I've done exactly the opposite. When I started writing that column, I always figured there's plenty of people out there who have better advice about resumes and interview skills and all that stuff. What I wanted to talk about was the personal side of careers. The fact is, there's a lot of externals that go on. We have to worry about our resumes and our interviews, and do we have all of our ducks in a row and our paperwork and everything else. And that's required, part of any part of career or life. There's always those hoops you have to jump through. It's not fun, but it is required. You just got to do some of that. But I'm going to say something a little heretical. I'm going to say a little career heresy here. It's like those things are not the most important things about your career. Okay? In fact, those externals are some of the, in the big picture, least important things about your career. The fact is, your career is about you, okay? It's not about someone else. It's not about your manager. It's not about your boss. It's not about the company you work for. It's about you. You have to live within your career 24/7, okay? You've got to deal with it. It's about you. We spend all this time serving the needs of other people. There's a time in your career that you need to serve yourself. And unfortunately, I think most of us forget that. Or perhaps you never learned it. Perhaps you were indoctrinated in the 1960s style of management of, be lucky you got a job. You know, how often do you hear that, right? Yes, you are somewhat lucky to have a job. That doesn't mean you have to be happy about it. Okay? A job that is sustainability is not a career that services you for the rest of your life. Okay? So yes, be grateful you have a job. Go find a better one. That's always my mantra that I put out there. You've got to balance between your work and your life. And people, nowadays, it's been common to say, there is no work-life balance. And it's like, there's balance in everything. Everything I do in my life, and this sounds very Zen-like, very Buddhist-like, but I believe that everything in your life is about balance. You know, as a joke about if you like a cocktail every once in a while, you just, moderation in all things, including moderation. Okay? The point is, balance. Yes, you can have those times when you go out and you have fun with your friends, and this time when you stay home and work. There's a balance in all things, and it's a constant seeking of that balance, because you're never ever there. Life is a constant ups and downs and cycles and everything else. You're never really there, but it's something you seek. Any goal is something you reach for. You're never going to reach the goal, because a goal is an ideal, but you need to be trying to aim towards that goal. I've talked in some other talks of mine about the fact that if you're on a ship, you're never really on course on a ship. Ships are being constantly pushed by the tides and the wind and everything else. And if you were to plot the course of a ship, not under autopilot, it's just lesser of a degree, it's like this. You look at Columbus's trip across the Atlantic, it's like this. Because they were constantly fighting to remain on course. And that's what you do in your life and your career. You're constantly trying to head the right direction, knowing that you're never going to head directly there in a beeline. Okay? You must serve yourself both personally and professionally. And this is going to be about you. I'm going to use the term you a lot. And I'll also reinforce that a lot of stuff I write about in my career column, a lot of stuff that I talk about here at Career Camp and in my podcast and my videos is about money. It's ideas and thoughts and concerns that I've had in my own life and in my own career. And frankly, I talk them out in the column. You know? Sometimes I talk about them with friends, sometimes I talk with coworkers, but oftentimes I use my column and my writing and other work that I do in my podcasting to talk out these ideas for myself. Because if you read about it in my column, I can almost guarantee you I've experienced what I'm writing about. Otherwise, why write about it? I don't have enough basis to write about it. So everything I want to talk about relates to me as well. So you spend all your time, get your resume in order, get your interview skills down, get that new suit, that new dress, get all those externals set down. You get all your ducks in a row. Once you do that, the hard work begins. Okay, once you do that, then you got to go to a nice quiet room out in the woods, up down by the lake, you know, wherever, your favorite place, and think. I tell people about this all the time in my column. You got to do some hard thinking, because that's where the work really gets done in your career. You have to think very deeply about the internal aspects of your career. Now, the great thing about this is as you think more about the internal aspects, as you talk more about yourself and what you want, it actually helps with the externals. Because how are you going to write a goal on your resume if you don't really know what you want to do? How are you going to write a cover letter about, you know, what you want to accomplish in the world if you haven't really thought about it? Okay? Now, I say this because I meet so many people who don't ever think about these things. Part of the talk today is about directing your career and not letting your career just happen to you. Because I can guarantee you, we all know someone, we might even have ourselves as an example, yes, I raised my own hand, of times in our life when we simply let our careers happen to us. We're looking for a job, that job appears, okay, I'll take that job. We're looking for the next job, that job appears, oh, we take that job. Now, I can guarantee you what happens is 20, 15, 20 years, you wake up and you wonder, how the hell did I get here? Where was I thinking? Well, you weren't. You weren't thinking. You weren't managing your career. And therefore, you ended up somewhere you had no intention of being. Okay? That is probably one of the biggest issues in careers these days, is not taking the attention to manage your career. Now, great. Now, there's only certain amounts that you can manage your career. Life is happenstance sometimes. That's normal. That's just the way life is. That doesn't mean, though, that you can't have that goal out there and, again, correct your course. If you end up in a job that maybe is going the wrong direction, you need to be thinking, okay, I'm here now. Now I've got some stability. Now I need to go back on course. I need to go back towards where I'm headed. And not let that path lead you off to the next fork in the road, and the next fork in the road, and the next fork in the road, until you're going the entirely wrong direction. I have a little booklet I wrote called The Career Compass. I've actually given a presentation here on Career Compass about how to decide what you want to do in life. And one of the aspects of that is most people are wanting to head north, and they're heading due south. It's not just they're off course. They're in going the entire wrong direction. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in all the people I talk to. If you let it happen, it will. Knowing what you want to do will let you make a better resume. It'll let you have a better interviews. It'll let you write better cover letters because you simply know more what you want to do with your life. The more you know about what you want, the more you can communicate with that with others and help them understand not only what you can do for them, which is highly important to the person on the other side of the interview table, what's in it for me, how do you make my life easier, they also learn about what you want out of a career, hoping to find a combination of skills and talent and personality that allow both of you to win. Because if it's not a win-win, get out. If it's not a win for both parties involved in anything you do in your life, get out, because someone's losing. And if you look around the table and the loser isn't someone else, it's you. Okay? And I'll joke about the poker table. If you look around the poker table and you don't see a sucker, it's because the sucker is you. Just remember that. Okay? You have to learn about your personal wants, needs, and desires. These are three words I come back to again and again and again in my career columns and everything I do. Wants are those cool things we want. We want the flashy car, we want the nice house, we want the, you know, whatever accoutrement of luxury that you would like to have. Needs are what you need to survive. You need the money. You need a place, a decent place to live. You need a decent family life. You need to live geographically close to your job, if at all possible. And your desires are those things that go far beyond wants or needs. And these are the intrinsic parts of your life that reward you. It's a little difficult to talk about, but your desires are those things that, given your druthers, to use an old-fashioned phrase, given your druthers, these are the things I'd love to do. These are the things that would give me the most joy. Well, as you might imagine, the ability to combine those three things together in a career, chances are you're going to have a pretty darn good career. Because you're thinking about those three necessary parts of any career that combine to make a whole that is much bigger than any of the three individually. Okay?
What are the wants in that? You said the needs and the desires. What are the wants?
The wants are, I want the flashy car, I want lots of money, I want the fancy house, I want the trophy wife. Shh, quiet. She didn't hear that, did she? I often talk with my son about the difference between wants and needs.
Wants and desires seem very close.
They're close. I think desires are even, well, needs and, well, yeah, wants and desires are the close ones. Desires, I think, speaks something, it's kind of that amorphous spiritual thing, if you want to say that. I'm not a terribly religious person, but I do believe we have things that drive us deeply, even that we may not even quite understand ourselves sometimes. And I think a lot of people don't understand really what their desires are. They say one thing, but their actions show that they really desire something else. I think that's where it breaks apart.
Yes.
Okay.
Fills your tank.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't subtract from your life. It really, and it is that very internal thing too. The desire is something that, well, much. I'll give my example. I love presenting to people. I love sharing what I know with people. I love teaching people. I haven't heard the word passion about it. That's something that drives me. You get what's called a teacher's high. I've heard it called when you come out of a class and you're all wound up. It's like, because you really, it gives me as much as I hope it gives you. That is one example of a desire that perhaps can go unspoken for a long time if you don't think about it. You need to find those things. You need to notice those things. Those things that just, wow, you come out of them with more energy than you went in. Even if you go on a long hike and you're dead, physically dead tired at the end of it, but you just feel great. Okay, maybe you need to be a ranger. Maybe you need to lead wildlife hikes. Maybe you need to learn about birding. You know, what's that telling you? That feeling is telling you something that you need to notice and look into more deeply. It goes into that whole concept of not letting things happen to you. You know, if you really feel energized about something, why? Think about it. Why do I like that? What does it give me? It gets me out. I'm from a small town of 2,000 people. Frankly, going out in the woods, it gets me away from people. And noise. I love it because it's totally different than where I live in Van Nuys, right? But I know that about myself. And that there's a reason I go out to the woods, and that's one of them. I can get out there and my ears almost ache because it is so quiet. And, you know, driving to the desert. I always, you know, I'm driving to Vegas or something, and I stop in the middle of the desert and you're like, you can't. Your ears almost feel like they're opening up because you can't hear anything. So that's something I've learned over years of noticing that reaction and realizing, oh, okay, that's what that does for me. The truth is, about the biggest reason you have to look at these internals too, is that you have to live with your career every day. Okay? Your boss doesn't have to live with your career. Your wife doesn't have to live with your career. Your husband doesn't have to live with your career. Your children don't have to live with your career. You have to live with your career every single day. It better fit, or you are going to drive yourself mad. Okay? As just a poor example, imagine a pair of shoes that don't fit. Remember how agonizing that can feel if you're in a pair of shoes or a dress or a pair of suit or a suit or a pair of pants that don't fit, and how just annoying it is. Now multiply that by about a million, and you have a career that does not fit. So the object is not to have a career that doesn't fit, because it'll affect everything in your life negatively. It'll affect your family life, your work life, your personal life, your relationship with your children, everything. There is no way that a bad career cannot affect your life. We like to think, oh, I just divorced that part. I go home and I turn off the job and say, good luck to you, because I can't do that. I carry that right here with me every single day, all the time. Is it just the type of person I am? Yes, to some degree. I tend to carry those things with me. But I've talked with enough people that realize that I'm not the only one. Okay? When I have an irritant in my life like that, I carry it everywhere. Now, the fact is, too, and this is just a simple fact of human nature, no one can care about your career as much as you can. No career counselor can care about your career as much as you can. No boss can care about your career. Certainly a company can't care about your career as much as you do. It's not their career. It's not about them. Your career is about you. It's just a simple fact of human nature that you're the one you care about the most, or you should. Okay? We can all be altruistic. We can all do good works for people. We can go out and we can volunteer and help our families and take care of our parents, our elderly parents, or whatever required, that we can do those altruistic things. But at our very heart, we have to take care of ourselves. I always like to say that we can't help others until we're at a position of being stable and in a good position ourselves. If we try to do that, we end up further diminishing ourselves. If we're constantly putting out work as a caregiver and not servicing our own needs at all, we will burn out. Who was talking about burnout the other day, this when we started? You will burn out. You simply use up your energy in trying to do that because you're never refilling the well. You're never refilling that tank. And I talk with caregivers a lot, just at the age I'm at. I say my wife and I are of a certain age, and when these things start to take place, and I'm always counseling them, I always praise them for what they're doing, and I say, and what have you done for yourself lately? What have you done for you? Because I know if they don't do something for them, if they don't get away, if they don't have those regular breaks that they can take, they will burn out and they will fail. Okay? Same thing applies to your career. You have to refill that tank and concern yourself with your own career and develop your own career. Otherwise, you simply will burn out and you'll end up in a job that you hate and you'll feel trapped. And we'll talk about trapped in a little bit. She asked you a great question. I'm going to take a little diversion here from the notes about how do you know you have a great career. I'm going to refer you to a talk on my website, and you can search Google and you should find it too, called Career Compass. It's also a small booklet, Kindle book, that you can buy on Amazon and read. And there's also the original version of that is a column that I wrote for Career Opportunities. It's on the website as well. The book expands on it a little bit. Career Compass is about that compass I was talking about earlier, where the things you want to do are north. The things, your goals are north. The things you don't want to do are south. And what I'd ask people to do is draw a circle, and I'll basically draw the compass out, right? These are the things you're doing now that you like doing. And you start to think through your life. It's basically a way of thinking through your life and your career. What things do you like doing? And you put them up here. What things are you doing now that you don't like doing? Which we all have those, right? I hate writing bills every month. It's the same thing as like doing laundry. Oh my God, I certainly don't want a job where I'm writing bills all day, right? Okay. I don't like kids. I shouldn't work at a school, but I do. You know, how many people you know like that? They work at a daycare or something and they hate kids. Why are you there?
Okay. Same thing. Teachers who don't
teachers who don't appreciate them. So these are things you're doing now that you never want to do. Things you're doing now you know. These are things you're not doing but never wanted to, okay? And these are things you would like doing, but you're not doing now, okay? So you can see both of these, this hemisphere is things you want to be doing. Either you're doing them or you're not. These things are stuff you're not doing, whether you're doing them or not, okay? And you just think through your life of all the little things, all the little tasks, all the little chores, all the little things you like doing, the hiking, whatever. Where do they fit on that compass? The fact is, that will lead you to that path. Yeah. You're never going to be on course totally. Compasses, you know, you got to follow that compass all the time. You're always going to be going back and forth. The goal is, as I said earlier, never to do this. never to be going back home. You know, if Columbus had done that, he'd end up back in Spain instead of North America, right? That's the basic of that. It's laid out much more in the booklet and in the other talk. If you watch it, it's totally about that. I came to that idea in my own life. I was talking with a friend of mine, one of the gentlemen who used to co-chair career camp with us before he moved to Colorado. And I came up with this idea. I said, list everything you do. That was the way I started. List every task you do in a given day and then give it a number. Plus or minus one, plus or minus three, plus or minus two, before the compass idea came up. And I realized that is so effective because it requires you to think. It requires you to do something you may not do in the normal course of your life, which is think about your career, right? It's just one metaphor, one method. There's a billion others, and you can find one that works better for you. The point is, though, think about it. If this helps, more power to you. Otherwise, find a different way. If you meditate, you're not supposed to be thinking about things, but I say if you're going to go to the woods and do it there, you want to sit by the pond, you want to do it when you're driving to work to take your mind off the commute, it's another great way of doing it. Sometimes it might help because you're kind of occupying both sides of your brain when you do that. Hopefully that'll lead you to some degree of what you want to do. Now, I will joke somewhat. People ask me at age 50, what do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up? Because I really don't know. I am one of those people who does not have a single point of goal out there in the woods. Mine is more like a star field. I have a variety of interests, often totally divergent. If you look at my blogs, I write about careers. I write about food, wine, and other stuff, and books on my other blog. I write about a gardening blog. I write a blog on new media, and I write a blog on technology. Okay, those are my kind of basic star points out there, and I've never been able to decide between them. I always have some interest in all those things, and so I pursue them. One will be more active than another at any one time. They all kind of, you know, in the farming terminology, we say let something lies fallow, which means you let a field, that you don't plant that field that year. You let it lie fallow to rejuvenate. And some of the projects, you know, will go fallow for a little while, and, you know, some will come back up. And that's just the way I live my life. I'm not that person who has that one focused goal. And I've had to come to that understanding. Because I was making myself very unhappy because everyone was telling me, you got to focus. You got to focus. Well, guess what? That's not me. That is some people. There are some people. Yo-Yo Ma. I want to play cello. And all he's done is just gotten better at playing cello. Okay? That's his focus in life. He has that career path pattern, just straight line. And you have to find what makes the most sense for you. Yes?
I'm reading a book now about... I don't know the name by heart, but it's about, you know, you're laid off, now getting on track again.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about serendipity,
mm-hmm.
which really helped me because it's like, well, what if you're headed in one place and serendipitously you could head in another direction, which isn't horrible because at my point I'm saying, well, I guess I could do reception. But maybe by serendipity, I'll really be doing public speaking, because mm-hmm. that's my heart's desire. But I know for sure that I always thought I was administrative assistant. Am I shouting in your ear? For me, being an admin is like a round peg in a square
hole. Mm-hmm. I did a whole talk at Tuesdays with Transitioners, another group. Someone was going to be at Tuesdays over there, sorry. Over the past several years, I picked a theme for the year. One year was visibility, one year was leadership. One year, last year, was opportunity. And opportunity is a lot with serendipity, like you're discussing. Serendipity is things that just happen to you. Just kind of out of the blue, someone offers you an opportunity. Most of us, what's our first response when someone offers us something that's out of our normal realm? What do we do?
No.
Oh, my God, no, I can't do that. Fear. Fear blows up and we ignore it. We actually ignore the opportunity we've just been given. Okay? That whole section, again, opportunity, you can find on the website, search for opportunity, you'll see all the things I did on opportunity. But the big part of that is serendipity and being able to accept, to recognize those opportunities when they appear, be able to accept those opportunities when they appear. Because most often we simply reject them out of hand. We don't even think about them. Because most people think, if I think about it, I have to do it. It's like, no, you're just thinking about it. You're not taking the job, you're just thinking about it. And I found that if I put it that way to people, it helps to unclench the fear a little bit. Say, oh, yeah, I'm just thinking about it. I don't have to take the job, I'm just thinking about it. So that's where serendipity plays a great part in your career, is recognizing those random opportunities that just suddenly pop up in your life. I had one pop up in my life the other day. Yesterday, I was like, person wants me to do a voiceover for a little thing because I heard something else that I did. And it's like, oh, okay, sure, I'll do that. Be open to that and be aware of that. Again, if you want to go deeper into the opportunity and serendipity, check out the search opportunity on that website, and you'll definitely find all the stuff there. I've talked a lot about how your career is about yourself. It's about you. You need to think about yourself. Now, the first pushback I get from people is, well, that's selfish. You're just being selfish. You're not being selfish. I take the term self-preservation. Okay? Goes back to the concept I said about you can't help others unless you are in a position that is stable. Okay? You will simply chew yourself up, eat yourself up, burn yourself out, whatever. So when thinking about these things, there are certain times you need to say no. You need, if you want to use the term, you need to be a little selfish, but you need to practice self-preservation. You need to understand what your limitations are, what your feelings are, what your desires are, and service them. If you're constantly doing what others want, you're not living your life. You're living someone else's idea of what your life should be. It's like those people that are always telling me to focus. Okay? They have no idea. They are capable of focusing on one thing. I am not. We are different people. And if I try to live to their standard, I'm going to chew myself up because that's not who I am. Okay? We all need to realize that. Don't try to be the square peg in the round hole. Okay? I actually had to read it because I liked it so much when I read it. I actually had to read it here. If you're constantly doing what others want, then you're not living your life. You're living someone else's idea of your life. And I actually added a little thing here. A life that better serves them than you. Yes? So,
now, I know from experience things have been difficult in a way that I've dealt with a lot of the laughter as far as this is what you're doing for a living. Mm-hmm. I'm making more money than you. Mm-hmm. And that is a reality. People do have done that to me, and they do it to others. And that makes it kind of like your career is not so important as mine, right? Or my career is more important than yours. So knowing all those factors, how can you focus on the positive of your path and kind of ignore the other stuff because it's not really important?
A term that just pops in my head when you're asking questions, you need to make your voice louder than theirs. You need to hear your voice in your head louder than theirs. You need to turn them down and you need to turn yourself up. It's very difficult. I will not kid you in any way, shape, or form. I struggle with it every day. What do you want to be when you grow up? I hear that's like a haunting phrase in the back of my mind every day. That's what you have to do. You have to find ways of saying, and the way you do it, actually, it leads me to the next area here. Because you have to make your own decisions. We let people make decisions for us way too often. Whether it's our spouse, our family, our coworkers, our boss, or whatever, we let people make decisions for us too often. And that leads nowhere for you personally. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. This is kind of an odd example. There's a couple of apps out there for phone writing called Secret and Whisper. And these are apps. You don't necessarily want to download these apps, but these are apps that allow you to anonymously post things in your life. And they can get pretty wild sometimes when you see what people post. But the thing that just keeps recurring. I keep seeing these similar messages again and again and again in these anonymous sites are, I wish my boyfriend would do something stupid so I could break up with him. I wish my girlfriend would find someone else so I could break up with him and have an excuse to break up with them. Have an excuse to leave. Have an excuse to... Why are you looking for an excuse to do something? If you want to break up, break up! Why are you letting them make the decision? Okay? In a form, and I'm going to use a very charged word here, it's cowardice. You are being cowardly with yourself. Okay, you can be cowardly with the world. I understand that life is scary sometimes, but don't be cowardly with yourself. make the decision that needs to be made and live with it. Now, I'm not asking you to make crazy, wild, off-the-cuff decisions. Think about the decision you're making. What did I say here? I called it a particular thing. I said, you only need a reason of your own, carefully decided. Okay? I think sometimes when we think we're making decisions, we're just doing it off the cuff. Even ourselves, we think, well, I'm just, you know, blowing this off. Like, carefully decided decisions. But make them. Don't hope to be fired. Find a new job. Okay? Why? You know, don't stay stuck in a bad job. There's a great book called Radical Careering that I love by Susie Hogshead. Unfortunate last name, but great book. Radical Careering. And one of the things, there's a, it's more of a picture book almost. It's like pithy quotes and stuff. And one of them says, being in a crappy job is not your fault. Staying in a crappy job is your fault. Okay? That's right. Crappy anything. Staying in that when you know better is your fault. And you need to see it that way. Please don't ask for excuses from others. Because oftentimes they won't occur. And you're just sitting there going, doo-doo-doo, not my problem. I'm unhappy, but it's not my problem because no one gave me an excuse. No. You're unhappy because you haven't made a decision. Make the decision. It's not easy. Again, I try not to be unrealistic in what I'm saying here because I've struggled with it myself. It's not easy to make decisions, especially decisions that are unpopular with other people. You talk about decisions to do a certain career, whatever, and getting laughed at. It's hard. I admit it.
I've dealt with it for many, you know, ups and downs for many years, and it's kind of annoying because it's like I'm trying to focus. Psh, leave me alone.
Yeah. One of the most important things I can probably say today, hopefully I said a lot of important things, but this one's a big one. When you're faced between a decision between you and your company, you have to make the decision that is best for you. Okay? The company will only ever make a decision that is best for them. You should put yourself on the same level. If they're going to do what's best for them, I have to do what's best for me. Even if your manager, your coworkers, your company may not think it's a good idea for them, well, so what? If you don't make the best decision for you, you are basically giving up any power you had to them and say, oh, well, here, I guess you're better than I am, you're smarter than I am, you tell me what to do. The important thing there is, even though it's difficult, managers will take resignations personally, companies will, you know, try to retaliate you against you in some way and stuff like that. If you don't do it, even if it's a financial thing, and again, if it's a financial thing, then you're in a situation of keep the financial backing you got, but be spending every possible minute looking for a new thing. That's how you deal with that type of situation. Sometimes when we're in a bad situation, it takes all of our energy, and we don't have any energy to look for the next thing. Totally wrong thing to be doing. If something is taking our energy, you need to like reduce the amount of energy you're focusing on that, stop bringing home the work, and focus. And one of the ways of doing that is to turn that focus and say, I'm not going to think about work because I'm going to think about the next thing.
But Douglas, how do you look for a new job while you're working?
A whole nother topic that I've talked on, and the fact is your job search should never be an iterative process. A job search should always be something you're doing every single day. And ties back into serendipity, too. You should always be looking for those opportunities. You should be always doing things which create new opportunities for you every single day. Looking for a new job is never, in my mind, something you do just when you need a new job.
Okay.
It is something you do all the time. And that helps. I find that helps a lot. Because then it keeps you from feeling trapped. You can be trapped out of fear. You can feel trapped out of obligation to a family member, to whatever. You can sometimes just you want to be nice. You don't want to be seen as a bad guy. So, well, I'll stay here because they really need me here at this job. Even though I hate doing purchasing, they don't have anyone else to do purchasing. So I got to stay here and do wrong. Okay, not why. That's not serving you well at all. Again, they're winning, you're losing. No, win-win. It has to. I know it's cliche these days to say that, but I really believe that. Both you have to be getting something out of the agreement, or one of you is losing, and sometimes losing very, very badly. So please remember that. There's a large difference between being loyal and being trapped. Okay, I hear that loyalty word a lot bandied around today. Being loyal requires that your work situation be reciprocal, like I was just saying. It has to benefit both sides equally, or at least as equally as possible. And that typically goes far, far beyond when I do the work, they pay me the money. That is like the lowest level of equality in any position, okay? We all tend to forget ourselves that the company has something, we have something the company needs from us. Otherwise, they wouldn't hire us, right? They're not paying us for nothing. We have a skill they need. They need to see that, and you need to see that. Okay? That's when you get in a situation where you're working with someone rather than working for someone. And unfortunately, the working for someone has come out of the history of work. That's how we always imagine. I wrote a column the other day. Someone wrote about such and such gives you a job. And I say, no, they don't. You earn that job. If you didn't do something to earn that job, they wouldn't be hiring you. We need to abolish that term out of our dialogue entirely. Because what it immediately points up is the power dynamic, the distorted power dynamic that exists in that work relationship. It's never going to be equal, okay, unless you're working as a partner in a business you partially own. But you want to get that power ratio as close as possible as you possibly can. Your boss needs to understand that you are bringing something useful to them, and they are paying you for that usefulness. And if you forget that, you are participating in your own demise. Okay? You are punishing yourself. Don't do that. If the company wins and you always lose, there is no loyalty there. Okay? We should be able to clearly see that. There's no loyalty there. And you're under no obligation to keep working there under those situations. Okay? Start looking. Find something where that power ratio is more balanced. Because unfortunately, what they're using, the company is using, the manager is using, the boss is using, whatever, they're using the rather outmoded idea, concept of loyalty to trap you. Okay? Don't be trapped by that. You are better than that. You offer more than that. You have more to offer than that. We end up trapped in situations because we've decided to do what others want, not what we want. Simply, bare laying it out there. Don't be the creators of your own traps. Too often in our minds, that's exactly what we do. And again, I'll hold my hand up and say, me too. We trap ourselves in situations. And the fact is, if you feel trapped, you are. So if you're ever feeling trapped in a job, red flag, Les Miserables style, waving on the stage, there is a problem here, okay? That feeling of being trapped is a clear sign that you are, and you need to recognize it as such, and then you need to do whatever you can to make that feeling go away, okay? Does that make sense to people? So I really want to reinforce it because I see that so often when I talk to people. I hear people discuss. I was sitting at dinner once with a group of people that I didn't really know. I'd only met them for the first time. I was at a conference or something. And I listened to the person next to me just describe a horrible job situation to the point of definitely mental abuse and approaching physical abuse. And they had not yet decided in their mind that maybe it's a good idea if they left. And I'm like, okay, I'm sitting here as a neutral, unknowing third party, and I'm hearing your story. Get out. I'm going to call social services for God's sakes. You are trapped in this situation. I can't believe you decide to stay there. We like to say that financial issues are our trap. Sometimes they are. I think they're far less than we think they are. I think our fear of financial issues is more powerful than the financial issues themselves. But we really have to find a way through that fear and back to our own self-respect and say, you know what? I have more to offer. Even if they don't see it, if they hired me, there was someone else who was going to hire me. That's another thing I often say. I got this job. I can get another job. Because I obviously have something to offer, or they wouldn't have hired me. So let's look for the next thing.
Yes. We're running short on time. I was just thinking, a couple times you made reference to, I go into that more. I think you mean on your website.
Yes. In the column. I write the weekly column, the career column too. Okay. A lot of these topics come up in the career column.
Basically, we could actually, after today, it's been great, but 45 minutes is short. We can go to your site and hear a lot more of this. Do you have webinars and things like that we could listen to?
There are previous, like the Career Camp, Career Compass talk from Career Camp 2 years ago is on there. Okay. I've been revisiting some older talks I've given recently as little clips. Those are on there. If you do a search...
Inspiration's great. I like to keep the mindset into the positive mindset.
So. Well, it's very freeing. I mean, there's so many people. I've met teachers who are really like,
We can get trapped in that. It's been, and I've had the trouble with that type of thing is I've had people saying, gotta be focused. You know, I know I come back to that, but that's one thing that just like stick a knife in me when people say that. Because not everyone works the same way. Not everyone learns the same way if you're a teacher. Not everyone acts, you know. And to require that of someone else shows a little bit of lack of understanding in the other person. And you have to see that, say, they really don't understand this. So I have to understand how they're coming at it, and you have to try and think of what they're coming through. But it is difficult, but it's so critical. And that's why most times everything is externally focused, like I said at the beginning, and very few people talk about the internal focus. And that's where I think in career opportunities that come, that I always focus on the internal. I always focus on the internal. The subtitle for Career Camp is the subtitle for Career Opportunities. That's exactly where it came from. It was so good I used it twice. Helping to build the career that you deserve, because that's what I truly believe. And again, those are the thoughts that I've had in my own mind that I've come out to. Don't focus exclusively on the external factors, as we were just saying, right? Everything about your job search is external. Resumes and interview skills and dress and all that stuff. Okay, that's fine. It's required. Really, those things are kind of like, yeah, I know. You know, I know what I need to do there, and I've got pretty much a handle on what I need to do there. You know, most of us, I think, in this room have a handle on that. Look to the internal factors. Look at your wants, your needs, and your desires. Don't let one outweigh the other. Focus on your desires, if nothing else, because your desires are telling you something about yourself that maybe even you haven't listened to in the past. Okay? Listen to those little voices in the back of your head, little prickles in your heart that, you know, when you do something you really, really enjoy, those are pointing you in the right direction if you listen to them. And then at least gives you somewhere on your compass to say, I want to go that way. How can I go that way? And it gives you a direction. If you get to know yourself better, you can't help but be a better worker, a better job candidate, a better employee, a better whatever you do. The more self-knowledge you have, the better you will be at doing whatever you do. Because you just understand yourself more. You understand your limitations. I have limitations. I tend to worry way too much. It's just part of my makeup, and I have to do things to adjust to that. The fact is, though, because I know that about myself, I can work against it. I can modify it. I can bring it back into balance whenever I can. You can't help but being better if you learn more about yourself. It can be a little scary. There's some things about all of us that we don't like about ourselves. My worry is one of the things that I'm so glad my son did not inherit that from me. And I tell him that regularly. He is much more chill than I am. It's great. But it can't help but make me better at what I do by knowing it. Okay? It's in our ignorance that we lose ourselves, where we start to do what everybody else wants, not what we want. Don't allow others to trap you in a bad situation through coercion, through being demeaning. It's just funny you brought up what you said, you know, the demeaning behavior, or being dismissive. Those are the three common traits that people will try to do to you. Don't. Recognize them for what they are. Recognize them as what they're feeling, not what you should be feeling.
Demeaning, dismissive,
and... through coercion, demeaning behavior, or dismissive behavior. That's the way I wrote it here. Most importantly, and I want to reinforce this in the conclusion, do not be the creator of your own traps. Mm-hmm. We all do it. We all do it. Okay? Been there, right there beside you. Don't do it to yourself. There are enough challenges in this world without creating more of your own. Okay? Do not do it to yourself. Define, control, and create the career yourself and others need and desire. Okay? The fact is, if you are fulfilled in your career, people around you will feel fulfilled as well. You will percolate good feelings out there because you will be in a position where you can help others. You'll be in a position to provide a good example, which sometimes in this world, the only thing we can offer up is a good example. Okay? People don't think about that. But just because everyone else is doing something bad doesn't mean you have to. Be the good example, and other people will follow it. Trapping yourself, doing any of these demeaning, dismissive, coercive things is not the way to build the career you deserve. And that's what it's all about. We are not entitled to a great career. Entitlement doesn't figure in this, but we all deserve it. Because deserving it as part of our native human rights and nature, we deserve a good career. And we shouldn't let ourselves, which often happens too often, or someone else stop us from getting that. Or at least striving towards the best we can get. That make sense to everybody?
Yes.
So we're all going to go out there and fight the good fight, right? Okay. I want to thank you so much for listening to me today. I hope it's been useful for you. As you mentioned, yes, you can find everything that I do on douglasewelch.com. You'll find links to all five of the blogs on the left-hand side, the books I've written, the videos are, the most recent videos are on the page. You can also check out my YouTube channel. There's a link to that as well, where you can find out, I try to record everything I do, so a lot of the stuff is there. And the weekly column is also a podcast, so you can listen to it in audio or you can read it online. So, thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed Career Camp. I hope you've gotten a lot out of today. Please tell your friends, better, bring your friends. Career Camp is one of those odd concepts that sometimes you have to see first before you can understand it. And now you understand it, so I want you to tell other people about it. If you have any questions, you can email me there as well, and I'll be happy to answer.
It's Your Career After All with Douglas E. Welch. A presentation from Career Camp SCV in the Santa Clarita Valley, July 12, 2014. For more information, visit douglasewelch.com. For more information on Career Camp, visit careercampscv.wordpress.com or careercampinternational.org.